enough stares from my cousins to piss me off. Even Luca had glanced at her with a knowing smile and then tipped his beer to me in an obnoxious gesture. Lorenzo was making a besotted idiot of himself. The man was a cold-blooded killer, yet he appeared to be a nervous mess talking to Elena Abelli. He was currently rubbing the back of his neck and fucking blushing. And just imagining Elena tied to Lorenzo's bed in some kind of fucked-up BDSM scenario made that Russo blood burn me from the inside out. That went smoothly. Gianna's tone was dry, apparently having overheard my conversation with Adriana. Why did you have to invite him? Her pupils were so dilated only a sliver of dark brown surrounded them. A wave of displeasure ran through me. It sucked me back to age 15 when I found my mama's lifeless eyes wide open. Who? My question was indifferent, but I already knew. Her gaze narrowed. Christian. It's none of your business who I invite to my apartment, Gianna. I wouldn't have invited him if I'd had a legitimate reason to do so, and more than Elena practically drooling over him yesterday. The asshole had a pretty face, and it annoyed me more than I cared to admit that it had interested Elena. I don't want him here, Ace. She watched Christian talk to my Uncle Jimmy with a sour expression. Ask me if I care, I answered dryly. Gianna had hated Christian since the moment she met him. The FBI part was at the top of the list of reasons why, but she was also the agent's opposite in every way. She scoffed at his perfectionism, while Christian grimaced at her lack of decorum. Elena's soft laughter filtered through the room, hitting me in the chest. My jaw tightened. Lorenzo was not that fucking funny. That's the wrong sister you're staring at. The right one is over there. Gianna pointed a white-painted fingernail at Adriana, who sat on the couch next to Benito with her legs pulled up beside her. She's probably recovering from your threat of rape. I let out a dry breath when Adriana giggled at something on Benito's phone. She looks real traumatized. There was something cold and fearless about her, but apparently the idea of sex with me was unappealing enough she believed she would die from it. Maybe it was a good threat I could keep in mind, because I thought I might need a strong one with her. Truthfully, I'd thought about sleeping with Adriana a complete total of 0 times. All thoughts of sex had been about her sister, especially after she'd arched her ass against me yesterday in the universal way all men understood as a go-ahead. She hadn't been shy about letting me know she'd let me touch her, but I couldn't help an inkling of awareness from settling in when she'd placed her hand on mine and I'd felt that ring of hers. She loved some man, wore his cheap ring on her finger like it was a diamond. Bitterness had run through me. She wanted to get off, and she was going to use me to do it. When I realized that, I'd felt something I had never felt in my life, like I was expendable, and that pissed me off. Nonetheless, "Do you respect me?" had followed me around all day and night in that soft, sweet voice of hers, everywhere I fucking went. There was always some vice that eventually killed a Russo. Irrationality, idiocy, a penchant for unprotected sex with cheap hookers. My father's was monetary greed. I was beginning to think mine was Elena Abelli. I wanted to fuck her and ruin her for anyone else. I wanted to crush her wings and then put them back together again so she'd become dependent on me. I wanted her to need me. That dark, possessive, and dangerous feeling crawled through me every time she crossed my path. Elena Abelli was my vice, and fuck if I'd let it kill me. However, the urge to try to fuck her out of my system was consuming me, regardless if she wanted me to be someone else. It was an itch I needed to scratch, and when I was done with her, she'd never remember another. Gianna shook her head while looking down on me, although she was a foot shorter, even in her heels. That's an awful idea, she said. What? Sleeping with Elena? Jesus. Elena's papa stood 3 feet away, though he was too deep in conversation to have heard.
Gianna, I warned.
What? It's what you were thinking.
And what am I thinking right now?
Gianna thought she was clairvoyant when she was high, which was a lot of the time. She pursed her lips.
That you want to strangle me?
My brows rose in accord as I took a drink of whiskey.
I don't understand how I had sex with you, she said, observing the party with a sigh.
I didn't either, though I could only feel relieved that she'd been the one to start it. Truthfully, we'd been so drunk, there was hardly a memory to go with the deed.
My gaze landed on Tony, who appeared to be getting talked down to by his mama. It was only a diverting amusement that he'd brought Jenny, who was currently trying to sell my aunt, Mary Kay.
Gianna began to drift away, but before I knew what I was doing, I grabbed her arm and asked,
And why would it be such a bad idea?
I didn't look at her, but I felt her sad smile.
Because you'll fall in love with her, she said,
and she won't love you back.
Elena. The chatter was low. Elvis Presley's Can't Help Falling in Love a little quieter. The soft lighting sparkled off the glass view of the city, and Nicolas's black-suited form only highlighted it as he stood near the bar. I didn't know how it had happened, but I was drunk. Lulled into a sense of warmth and complacency, I couldn't stop myself from heading toward what had to be a gentleman. The problem was, if I stopped to ask this one for help, he'd most likely take advantage of me. Or maybe that was only wishful thinking. He'd probably only give me a rude stare. I didn't expect you to like Elvis Presley. I was assuming just because I could. Nicolas glanced at me with a half-lidded amber gaze that always sent my pulse racing. Every time you've assumed, you've been wrong. I took the remaining steps toward him, eating up the electricity that spanned between us with each click of my heels. That's not true. I stood by his side, perusing the liquor decanters. Close enough, my shoulder brushed his chest. Close enough, my skin danced with awareness.
Yeah? Then what have you gotten right?
I reached across him for the gin, pretending that my arm grazing his didn't affect me at all, when in reality, it sent a rush of warmth low in my stomach. I assumed from day one that you were an asshole, and I was right. I paused with my hand on the decanter, not believing that had come out of my mouth. A hint of a sly smile pulled at his lips, almost as if he was thinking about something inappropriate.
Is that the first time you've said asshole?
Yeah. Did I use it right? I tugged off the lid and poured some liquor into my glass.
Could have been better.
I frowned, a little affronted. The first time I used a curse word to insult someone and it was lame? Maybe I didn't have it in me. I glanced at him and a sudden wave of shyness overcame me when I noticed he'd been watching me. How so? I added some tonic water and lime to my glass.
It was pretty unmoving.
He had one hand in his pocket, while the other brought his glass to his lips as he looked around the room. How would Nicolas Russo do it, then? His gaze settled on mine.
If I was going to insult you, I'd make sure to leave you thinking about it for a while.
I stirred my drink, feeling like stirring up something else. So show me. His eyes narrowed.
You want me to insult you?
I nodded, took a sip, and then licked the gin off my lips. My breath turned shallow when his gaze fell to my mouth and darkened.
Thought I did that yesterday.
Really? I've already forgotten. The tiniest bit of amusement crossed his expression, and he ran his tongue across his teeth, a calculating stare coasting around the room. We were sort of secluded, the guests closest to us having their backs turned. Although, when I was in his presence, it always felt like we were alone. He shook his head.
I'm not going to insult you, Why? Are you acting like a gentleman tonight?
Nah.
Just don't care to. I scoffed. That's because you don't have a good one. A breath of shock escaped me when his rough palm gripped the side of my throat and he pulled me to him. His lips pressed against my ear.
You look like a slut in that dress, Elena.
A violent shudder rolled through me. My eyes closed as his warm masculine scent sank through my skin and sent a hum through my veins. His words softened.
Only good for one thing. And it's not running your pretty little mouth.
I couldn't breathe with his body pressed against my side, his dirty, insulting words in my ear. He ran a thumb down the goosebumps on the back of my neck. And then his grip was gone. I stared blankly as he grabbed his drink and walked away, leaving me with a parting word.
That's how I would do it.
Chapter 24. You can be the moon and still be jealous of the stars. Gary Allen. Elena. Mama, does this dress make me look easy? My mother sipped her cocktail with a straw, a crease forming between her brows. Well, cara mia, you did sleep with a man you couldn't have known very well. Mama, Adriana scolded. There were few moments in my life when my mother and sister's roles switched, but it had happened. I didn't ask if I was easy. I asked if I looked easy. I sighed. The truth was, this dress was tight. And by tight, I mean that I didn't try it on at the store. And when I finally got around to putting it on, it fit two sizes too small. But it was just too pretty to stay in my closet. You don't look easy, Elena, Adriana assured. Benito sat next to her on the couch, his arm resting across the back. He gave my dress a cautious expression and scratched his jaw. Well, just forget it. I headed through the throng of people toward the patio area and pool. The chatter dissipated as I walked out the double doors and into a hot, still night. The terrace was empty. The only company were tall buildings and their yellow lights filling the horizon. I crossed my arms over my chest and glanced at the nighttime sky. No stars, I said quietly. I had a feeling they would be visible at Nicolas's red brick house.
Scorpius.
The voice was cool. Christian's presence brushed my side as he came to stand beside me.
Scorpius is there.
He nodded to where my gaze was focused, with a flat gray sky staring back. And there? I pointed a little to the left. A small smile pulled on his lips.
Aquila.
I had a feeling he could name every constellation and each star they were made up of. It suddenly felt like he was completely out of my league, cop or not. A sigh escaped my lips. My head was light, my inhibitions unhindered by the alcohol I'd consumed.
Don't enjoy parties? He asked.
No, I do. Honestly, I'm shallow in that regard. He laughed. The sound was deep and rough, and a shiver coasted down my spine. He even laughed like an Adonis. How do you know so much about the stars? I asked.
Grew up in an old farmhouse in Iowa. Sometimes there was nothing to do but stare at the sky. Got tired of not knowing what I was looking at.
Well, that was a decent explanation, but it was a lie. Try again. I blinked. That would have never come out of my mouth a year ago. I would have accepted the lie and moved on. Maybe I only needed to become an alcoholic for the courage to free myself from my childhood chains. I saw the tiniest smile out of the corner of my eye.
Studied astronomy abroad. Wanted to impress French girls right into my bed.
Even more unbelievable. Have you seen yourself? With that face, this man wouldn't have to impress anyone. Another smile.
How did you know the first one was wrong?
You're colder than the Arctic.
You don't become that way in a friendly small town. That's city living, most likely on your own. No wonder you found yourself on the wrong side of the law. Small shake of his head. Heard a lot about you, Elena Abelli. Can't say you're what I was expecting. I didn't even want to know what this man had heard about me. I seemed to be a popular subject, and I didn't believe it was for any good reason. Haven't you heard? Assuming we'll only get you killed. Sounds right out of Ace's handbook, he said wryly. A sliver of uncertainty curled in my chest. He knew there was something going on between Nicolas and me, though I didn't know what myself. What a twisted web I was tangled in. Christian, do you drink?
I do.
I'm going to use the ladies' room and then make one. What would you like? I finally looked from the sky to him. Wide shoulders in a navy blue suit outlined the brightly lit horizon. His presence was comfortable but distant, like he stood on a different terrace a world away. His gaze met mine, and I waited for that zing of chemistry to settle in. But all I felt was scrutinized by icy blue eyes and a handsome face full of secrets. He ran a thumb over his watch and a thoughtful tick I'd noticed he had.
I'll get the drinks and meet you back out here.
His gaze flicked to the left and so did mine. My papa watched us through the glass in the living room, not with caution, but interest. All of a sudden, I knew. This had been set up. Disappointment sank like lead in my stomach. I wanted control of some things in my life. This conversation was one of them. But as my papa gave me a behave expression, I knew it had all been contrived. Although if papa was considering Christian, that meant he hadn't settled on Oscar Perez. The possibility released some of the pressure closing in on me. I would take Christian over that creep any day. That sounds great. I smiled the sweet Abelli smile. Feeling tipsy with too many thoughts on my mind, I headed inside. My feet froze when I saw Nicolas leaning against the hallway wall. One hand was in his pocket while the other held a cigarette he played between his fingers. He wore an expression most people would run from. I had no choice but to walk past him, so I swallowed, and then forced one foot in front of the other when I wanted to head in the opposite direction. His gaze burned as it followed my every step. My heart raced, and I prayed for anyone to step around the low wall and save me from this man. My skin danced with unease as I walked by him. But apparently he was only trying to kill me with his expression, because he didn't say a word. His silence seemed to be worse than his demands. At least I knew his intentions then. Once I'd made my way past him, I stopped, turned, and snapped, "What?"
"What did I tell you about Christian, Elena?"
His voice was low and calm, but it carried a deadly edge. I hadn't considered his current mood could be due to the fact I was talking to Christian on the terrace. We'd only been speaking and in view of everyone. Was he serious? I don't know, I must have missed it. My response was sarcastic, and he didn't like it at all, if his narrowed gaze was anything to go by.
"Then let me remind you, stay the fuck away from him."
"I told you before, and I'll say it again. I'm an Abelli, not a Russo. You don't get to tell me what to do."
"I'm growing tired of you not showing me the respect a don is due," he bit out.
"And I'm fucking tired of men." His gaze grew lethal.
"Watch your fucking mouth."
I couldn't believe what I had said, but I was drunk, frustrated, and just damn tired of trying to force myself not to feel a certain way. I could still taste the curse word on my tongue, and it felt strange, sinful, liberating.
"No, Christian."
Two words. He expected me to listen to those two commanding words. I shook my head. In my mind, it was Christian or Oscar, the easiest decision I'd ever had to make. No. He slipped a cigarette in his pocket, and my pulse leapt when he took a step toward me. I backed up and was only aided when a soft yet consuming grip came to my throat and he lightly pushed me. I fell back a step until I hit the wall. It was an aggressive move, but the way he did it so gently, so absolutely, made something flutter in my chest and spread throughout my body. Want. Need. He stepped closer until his vest brushed my dress, and my breasts tightened in anticipation. I couldn't breathe with him so close, his hand around my throat, and the idea that anyone could come down this hall. People were drinking. They'd have to use the restroom. He braced a palm on the wall beside me, and I'd never felt so consumed in my life. His head lowered, lightly resting on top of mine. What is happening? My heart burned. Nicholas, I breathed. This is inappropriate. His thumb caressed my neck, causing my pulse to hitch. Platonic, he rasped. My insides melted, my lips parted, and my vision grew hazy. I wanted to taste that word straight from his mouth. A laugh from around the wall filtered through the buzz in my ears. I shook my head to clear it, but his face was so close to mine, I couldn't think. No, I panted. It's not. Please, let me go. No. Christian. His tone wasn't nice, even though his touch remained so. It was a strange play on my senses. And then I realized what this was. Blackmail. He was going to hold me here until I complied. He knew being caught like this would unnerve me more than it ever would him because of my past. Frustration tightened in my lungs. The longer we stood here, him holding me in an intimate way, the further the panic spread through my blood, itching and chafing. I pushed against his chest in a last-ditch effort, but it was like trying to move a brick wall. Okay, I whispered. No, Christian. He must have been satisfied with my answer because he stepped back. A second later, someone came around the corner. Ice crawled up my throat. Benito stopped when he saw us, his eyes narrowing to slits. Nicolas and I stood a couple feet apart now, though we were both alone, and my wide doe eyes had to give everything away. I forced a smile, and Nicolas gave my cousin a look of dark indifference before I sprinted into the bathroom. Leaning against the door, I exhaled a breath of relief. I was not going to marry Oscar Perez. Now that I knew there was an out, I let myself hope for the best. And I wasn't going to lose the chance because of Nicolas Russo. I used the restroom, went straight to the terrace beside the pool, took my gin and tonic from Christian, who must have noticed I liked them, a good quality in a man, and swallowed a large drink for courage. Then I talked to him, animatedly, like it was 100% my choice and not done by my father's interference. Like I hadn't gotten blackmailed not to. Christian was amused by it all, appearing to know everything I did, and I wouldn't doubt it. He was perceptive and hot. He only got hotter the more I drank. But for some illogical reason, I couldn't push Nicolas out of my mind for a second. I was continually aware of his presence, even with this insanely attractive man's avid attention. My gaze caught on Nicolas's through the glass. He watched me, his hands in his pockets, while talking to Luca. His expression was unexpected, indifferent, and calm. Like the exchange in the hall hadn't happened. What a confusing man. He'd told me he didn't bluff, and unfortunately, I would soon learn he really didn't. 5 minutes later, my cheeks felt hot from my fifth drink of the night, and I was beginning to think I'd imagine Nicolas's temper as well. Christian was easy to talk to, though I wondered how much of what he said was the truth. I listened as he told me about a cabin he owned in the Rockies, where the stars were incredibly bright. Sounds beautiful, I commented. I would love to see it.
See what?
My shoulders tensed at Nicolas's deep voice behind my back.
"My cabin in Colorado,"
Kristen responded, while I said, "None of your business," at the same time.
"You sound angry, Elena."
Nicolas's voice was tainted with something dangerous.
"Maybe you should cool off."
My brows knitted. "What? No." I never got to finish what I had to say, because with one hand on my side, Nicolas pushed me into the pool. Chapter 25. What is drama but life with the dull bits cut out? Alfred Hitchcock. Elena. While I climbed out of the pool soaking wet, they stood a foot apart staring at one another. Christian's lips tipped up as he brought his drink to his mouth, but his gaze never left Nico's.
"Elena!" Mama gasped, running onto the patio. "What happened?"
Everyone's eyes touched my skin through the glass, and it felt like I was on display at the zoo. My teeth clenched. "I fell.
Madonna, how much have you drunk?"
"Apparently more than I thought," I muttered. Her hesitant gaze ran to Nicolas and Christian, who were the two most ungentlemanly men I'd ever met. The former for pushing me into the pool, and the latter for not helping me out. Gianna came rushing outside with a towel, and Christian flicked a slow gaze to her over his glass, like the glance was equal parts involuntary and unwanted.
"Thank you," I mumbled, accepting it.
"I think I have something for you to wear." She grabbed the heels I'd pulled off so I could get out of the pool. I should have thrown them at Nicolas's head, but by that time, I had the entire party's attention. As I followed Gianna inside, everyone stared at me with wide eyes. Well, all the women. I expected the worst from my papa, but he wasn't even looking at me. His attention was on the two men on the patio, his expression darkening. My stomach dipped. How many had seen that it was Nicolas who pushed me in? And why would he do something like that? I guessed Russos did what they wanted when they wanted. Papa should have known from the beginning not to get involved with Nicolas. I followed Gianna into a room that looked like a spare while drying my hair with a towel. She dug through a bag on the bed and something twisted in my chest. Was she planning on spending the night? Ugh, why did I even care? Nicolas had pushed me into a damn pool. I didn't like him at all. Gianna found a pair of red shorts that had white trim on the edges and up the sides, and a plain white t-shirt. The outfit was from the 70s, right off Farrah Fawcett. I was beginning to wonder where Gianna shopped. I accepted the clothes and a sports bra. Thankfully, Gianna was close to the same size as me in the breast department, and turned around to change. "Thank you. I'm sorry for the inconvenience. I guess I'm just clumsy." "Ugh." Gianna laughed. "You don't have to lie. I saw Ace push you in." I paused with my dress around my waist while I pulled the t-shirt on. "How many saw?"
"Oh, mostly everyone."
"Of course they did." I blew out a breath, shimmied the dress down my hips, and then pulled the shorts on. Turning around, I saw Gianna lying on the bed, her feet on the floor and her arms stretched above her head. It was an unladylike pose the sweet Abelli would have never imitated, and I envied her for it. "Thank you for the clothes again," I said. "I'll wash them and return them to you."
"Keep them."
Silence morphed between us, and I had an urge to fill it. "Does he usually push girls into pools?" She laughed, sitting up. "No, definitely not. He would have to care to do that." I paused, not knowing what to say, considering she'd insinuated he cared about me. What have I gotten myself into? All I knew was that I needed to undo it. "It's not like that." I wanted to sound firm, but I came off more uncertain than anything. She smiled, but her eyes conveyed years of hidden torment, before saying quietly, "It never is."
A few minutes later, I learned that everyone had, in fact, witnessed my sister's fiancé pushing me into the pool. Apparently, this was hard for even the Russos to understand because the women, Valentina especially, regarded me with scrutiny, like they'd finally noticed I was at the party. Gemma, however, looked at me with sympathy, as though I'd gotten into something that would eventually kill me. I didn't know what to think about that one. On the way out of the apartment, I ignored Adriana's drunk and curious questions, Benito's angry gaze on the back of my head, and my papa's and brother's stone-cold silence. Before I stepped out the door, I glanced back. Nico's hands were braced on the island, and he watched me, his gaze a warm caress on my skin. I'd met his stare enough to grow used to it by now. But tonight, something was different. It wasn't rude. It was pensive, calculating, slightly devious. Like he was contemplating doing something he shouldn't. I swallowed, tore my gaze away, and didn't look back. I assumed I would be grilled on the way home, but nobody said a word to me. My mama talked about the wedding that was next weekend, and my papa responded accordingly from the driver's seat. Adriana fell asleep, her head resting against the window. Tony wrapped an arm around my shoulders, giving me a squeeze. I listened to the tire noise, watched the yellow light fly by and cascade through the glass and into the car. Through it all, I still saw the calculating expression on Nico's face, still felt the caress on my skin. And I knew it like the sky was blue. He'd been thinking about me. It was Thursday afternoon. Hot sun burned on concrete while the smells of fresh bread and garlic filled the air outside Francesco's green double doors. My gaze focused on the ground as I walked from the car to the restaurant because the strap of one of my heels had come undone. I tried to fix it, hopped on one foot, and when I began to tip sideways, a strong hand gripped my waist from behind and steadied me. "You're a walking hazard, you know that?" I tensed. His deep voice rushed over me and filled my insides with a warmth it shouldn't. As I stepped away from his grasp, his palm skimmed from my waist to my hip, a burning caress. It felt obscene when he touched me, like he had his hands in much different places than only on my side. The feeling was frustrating because I couldn't stop it, nor could I turn off the thrill that buzzed beneath my skin when he was near. My eyes narrowed, but I kept my mouth closed. I'd gone over how I would deal with this man. I wouldn't. Don't engage him. It was the best I could come up with. When I continued to walk awkwardly with my strap dangling against my ankle, an amused breath came from behind me. "The silent treatment, huh?" My teeth clenched. He thought this was funny. How could I be so confused and twisted up about him while he thought it was all amusing? I spun around, retorting, "You pushed me into a pool. Why should I talk to you?" Light blue shirt, gray waistcoat and pants, black tie, stupidly handsome face. I swallowed. Why did I engage? It was too late to go back now. He ran a thumb across his bottom lip, his gaze falling to coast over my strapless nude dress and pink heels. "You're the little liar, Elena." Of course he'd turn this around on me. He was too good at that. Me? You tried to blackmail me. "If you would have listened to me in the first place, I wouldn't have had to." Was he serious? His gaze remained stoic. Ugh, he was. I turned around, and when I almost fell again, I braced a palm on the hot brick wall and managed to buckle my shoe with one hand. "Where's your cousin?" he asked, typing something on his phone. "You shouldn't be out here alone." Benito had only dropped me off at the door to go park, and Mama and Papa had driven separately with Adriana. But that was none of Nicolas's business. Quit the brotherly act, I already have one. I said it just because I thought it bothered him. His jaw ticked.
"Inside, Elena."
"Ask me nicely," I retorted, mocking him from the time he'd said it to me. His gaze came up from his phone, amused, dark.
"If you don't get your ass inside, Elena, You'll be the one screaming, please. My God.
That was inappropriate, I breathed while heading to the doors.
Perfectly platonic, he parried.
It was then I realized I'd really screwed myself over with that word. The red-lettered closed sign was visible through the window near a few shelves of fresh bread. But when I pushed the door open, I was immediately greeted with, Mia bella ragazza! A smile tugged at my lips. Zio. My great-uncle grasped my face and pressed a kiss to each cheek. He smelled like oregano and nostalgia. Some things will forever have that smell, no matter if they never left to begin with. Francesco Abelli lived on the tamer side of the Cosa Nostra. Every scent laundered in our family name was a product of this dress pants and shoes, wife beater, and apron-wearing 65-year-old. When he wasn't cooking books, he was running this restaurant.
Have a seat near the windows. It's a buona giornata.
It wasn't that beautiful a day. It was hotter than Hades, but he probably hadn't set foot outside. He lived upstairs. I took a seat at the table and poured myself a glass of water from the pitcher. Blinding sunlight streamed through the large window. It was an awful spot to sit, honestly. But Zio's word was as final as Papa's, no matter if everyone was miserable because of it. Benito came in and took a seat, clearing his throat and pouring himself some tea. My eyes narrowed on him as I sipped water through a straw. You got a hickey on your neck. He rubbed the spot, muttering, told her not to do that. I shook my head, not wanting to know how he'd gotten some action in between parking the car and now. 15 minutes later, Mama and Papa sat across from me, Adriana on my side and Nico on my other. Mama frowned when she realized my sister and Nico weren't sitting beside each other, but neither the bride nor groom seemed concerned. Tony, Benito, Dominic, Luca, and my Uncle Manuel shared a table next to us, talking amongst themselves. Mama glowered and blinked against the bright sunlight, and Papa blocked it by reading his menu, though he knew it by heart. Lunch wasn't a tense affair like I'd expected it to be after the note last night left off on. However, the oddest thing about it was Adriana. She seemed distant, like she was here, but her thoughts were a mile away. She only stared out the window, when she was known to always keep her hands busy. Papers were strewn about the table as Mama went over the last of the wedding details with Nico, asking for his approval on some things. And will there be a honeymoon? Mama asked. Unease danced beneath my skin to a foreboding tune. I shifted in my seat. Nico ran a hand across his jaw, glancing out the window. My gaze followed his into the street, Long Island, pavement, and sun. A tickle played in my awareness when I saw a black town car on the road going slower than normal. And by the time I saw the tattoo MS on the driver's face, Nico's voice filled the restaurant.
Scendi!
Down. Shouts broke out. Scendi, 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 over and over again, like a messed up recording with a myriad of voices. Alarm came on the air so thick I could taste it on my tongue. And then a lungful of air escaped me as I was taken to the floor. A heavy body covered mine as glass shattered in an unmistakable pattern. Gunfire. My heartbeat drummed in my ears, and I couldn't discern it from the bullets flying above me. I knew who lay on me. Tried to match my breathing to his as the chaos played on. A feeling of safety enveloped me while the restaurant became a battleground for New York's scorned criminals. It felt like it went on forever, before a stillness fell over the room that carried an echo of gunfire. Stai bene. I heard the words, but my thoughts were focused on red. Blood dripped to the wooden floorboards in my line of vision. Hands grasped my face, turning it. Are you okay? Nico repeated. I nodded, the ringing in my ears fading. His hands and gaze ran down my body, checking anyway, but I didn't feel it because all I saw was the drip, drip, drip of red. Anguish tore into my chest, cutting my consciousness down to only emotion. I pushed Nico's hands away. Get off me! Stop.
He gripped my wrists. Everyone's all right. I blinked numbly.
Yeah?
Yeah. He ran a thumb across my cheek. Breathe. I inhaled a steady breath. And it was then that I heard their voices. They were all checking in. And I hadn't been able to hear it over the horror of that dripping blood. Benito was the one bleeding. He groaned.
Son of a bitch! While holding his arm. The same fucking arm!
Papa spit Italian over the phone and Mama was crying. Adriana sat up, surrounded by broken glass and disorder. Just as sirens sounded in the distance, the restaurant fell into silence, as though the shift in the air touched everyone's skin. And then my sister stared ahead and muttered two little words that would change both of our lives forever. I'm pregnant. Chapter 26. The die is cast. Julius Caesar. Elena. Sometimes there's nothing to say. Sometimes words will only clutter a space already filled with an unpleasant truth. I sat next to my sister on the couch while we both numbly watched an episode of The Office. The funny moments, all the "that's what she said," passed without even a smile. My mama had taken a bottle of wine and a Xanax up to her room, and she hadn't made an appearance below stairs in hours. After we gave our vague statements to the police, we'd been schooled on how to talk to cops at age 4. We came here and hadn't left the living room since. Our uncle Marco and Dominic, his son, were both in the house. But since the incident at Francesco's, the rest of the males in the family had been absent. Red. It was now dripping somewhere other than my uncle's restaurant. And I felt no remorse about it, just numb. It was 2 a.m. when they decided to show up. The light in the living room flicked on, and the sound of steps and voices filled the foyer. Weight pressed down on my chest. Papa came around the couch. His shirt sleeves were rolled up and his suit jacket was off, which he was never seen without, even on sweltering days like today. Not a good sign. I swallowed when I noticed the blood splattered against his white dress shirt. Marco, Dominic, Manuel, Tony, Benito, who must have discharged himself from the hospital, Luca, and finally Nicolas filled the room. My gaze followed Nico, but he didn't give me a glance. He still wore the same outfit from lunch, and his expression was unreadable as he leaned against the TV stand. His fiancée had been impregnated by another man. Any made man would take that as a personal and grave insult. But as he finally flicked a thoughtful gaze to me, for some reason I wondered if that was even what was on his mind. 8 men stared at my sister. They were going to try to intimidate the name right out of her. Phone, Papa barked. Adriana sat cross-legged on the couch in the white dress she'd worn to lunch, while I'd changed into shorts and a tee. She didn't even look at our papa or acknowledge his demand. That had him grinding his teeth. I grabbed her phone that sat on the couch between us, stood, and handed it to my papa. We'd already deleted every speck of Ryan's existence from it. Papa handed it to Dominic, who began searching through it.
We'll find out who it is, Adriana, so you might as well tell us, Marco said.
He was starting with a softer approach, but my papa wasn't going for it.
You'll tell us, Adriana, now, or I swear to God you won't see daylight again.
My sister crossed her arms, her eyes flashing with defiance. That strategy would never work with Adriana, and Papa knew it. I thought one day he believed she would magically become compliant.
We won't kill him, Marco said. There's a baby involved. It's different.
He didn't say it, but we all heard it. Different than me. Different than my situation. When hope flickered in Adriana's gaze, my stomach twisted. He's lying, I blurted. Angry male eyes shot to me. I swallowed, giving Nicolas a glance, but he still seemed to be a mile away. Uncle Marco shook his head,
No, I'm not. We're not going to kill him, Adriana. I promise.
The glint of hope in her eyes grew a tiny bit more. Panic flooded me. I knew that look in Benito's gaze, in my brother's. Lie. It's all a lie. They're lying, Adriana, I urged. Don't believe them. My pulse leapt into my throat. As the back of Manuel's hand came toward my face, I flinched, expecting the blow. When only a brush of air touched my cheek, I opened my eyes to see Nicolás's hand wrapped around my uncle's wrist.
Hit a woman in front of me, and you won't be alive to do it again, Nico growled.
Seconds passed before Manuel ripped himself from Nico's grip and took a step back, his face red with disdain. Papa watched the exchange with neutrality. But something close to displeasure played behind his eyes when he looked at Nico. My papa had never hit me. His distaste was for another reason than Nicolás stepping in. But I wasn't sure what. My mama's brothers had always been mean, except Marco. He was gentle, reserved. But at the slightest infraction, he was nothing but a wolf in sheep's clothing on the hunt.
Elena, papa barked. Leave.
I had never stood up to my papa before. However, I knew my sister. She was tough, but gullible. She wanted to believe in her fairy tale, so she would. And it would be the death of her prince. I didn't move.
Elena.
My papa's tone was colder than the Arctic and tinged with disbelief. I was pulled by the desire to listen. Yet my feet were frozen to the floor. I now stood on cheap apartment carpet watching a similar scene play out before my eyes. Papa flicked a gaze to Tony, who, with a look of contrition, came around the couch to me. I'm not leaving, I protested.
Come on, Elena, let's go.
Tony reached for my wrist, but I jerked it away. He sighed, before wrapping an arm around my waist and lifting me. Adriana, don't do it, I pleaded as Tony used one arm to half carry me, half walk me to the door. I promise you, they're lying. I knew the kind of guilt this carried around, let alone the heartbreak, and I couldn't allow Adriana to live with the same. Once my feet were in the hall, Tony shut the door, leaving me alone on the other side. I let out a noise of frustration before smacking the wood with my palm. Sliding down the door with my thighs pressed to my chest, I listened to their voices seep through the cracks. I waited and waited for the name, Ryan, to escape my sister's lips. It never did.
Nico. A clock ticked. Ice clinked in a tumbler glass. Cigar smoke hung in the air. And a certain distaste emanated from Salvatore, sitting behind his desk. I occupied a chair in front of it, leaning back with one elbow on the armrest. I was pretty sure he hated the way I sat like I was bored, so I'd continued to sit that way. I wasn't sure how long we'd been in his office, remaining silent, while Salvatore smoked his cigar, but something was building, and it wasn't from me. Truthfully, I enjoyed the atmosphere. I could survive on tense, awkward silences alone. You can't have her. The words cut the quiet like a knife through the air. My gaze found Salvatore's through a haze of smoke. I didn't say I wanted her. He let out a sardonic breath, shaking his head. Cut the shit, Ace. I know you want Elena, and she's not on the table. My jaw ticked. I did not like being told what I couldn't fucking have. I don't think you get to tell me what's on the table, Salvatore. You fucked me over. Technically, his daughter fucked someone, but it was the same thing in our eyes. He'd breached the contract. Salvatore puffed on his cigar one last time before contemplatively putting it out. Elena isn't a possibility, even if I wanted to give her to you. His gaze came to me, showing me that he didn't. She's engaged. I stared at him with indifference, while my chest twisted with aversion before going cold enough to burn. I'd thought a lot about this situation, what I could get out of Salvatore for breaking the contract, what I wanted the most. It started with an E and had long black hair. It was also my vice. I wanted it, but I couldn't let myself have it. Nonetheless, now that I knew she belonged to another man, something violent spread through my veins like an internal case of frostbite. My irrational side began speaking for me. Contract signed? Salvatore nodded, a glint of satisfaction in his eyes. I watched him closely. I bet after that little incident with the pool and me shoving Elena into it, he'd lock that man's signature right down. I had nothing against Salvatore, but there was something about sharing the same title with a man close to half his age he didn't like, and I was fucking richer than him. He didn't like how far my reputation stretched, and the details of said reputation. But after today, he knew he couldn't afford to get on my bad side. We'd found the Mexicans involved with the drive-by, but there were still a few members that needed to be taken care of. Frankly, I had more men on the streets than Salvatore, even men on his, who I'd used to find the men responsible for today's shooting. Salvatore hadn't liked it when I'd used that card. I didn't play by the rules, and the straight-laced Don didn't trust me. He needed me, though. I thought that was why he disliked me the most. He also just really didn't want my Russo hands all over his favorite daughter. Who? The question escaped me, and I fucking prayed he wouldn't answer. His gaze narrowed as he took a sip of whiskey. Oscar Perez, Colombian. We stared at each other, and the cold bit into my chest. This problem with the Mexicans has fucked some of my connections with suppliers. Oscar has been an acquaintance for a while. He has good product, but he wants Elena. Salvatore was trying to convince himself, it sounded like. Oscar was the kind of man the godly rich with a twisted sense of ennui bred, fitted with a malignant stain he'd try to rid with Elena. I got up, buttoned my jacket, and turned to leave. We'll talk about this tomorrow. It's late. And Adriana? He said as I opened the door. I hadn't shown much desire in getting revenge on the man who dared to fuck Nicolas Russo's fiancée, but only because I'd been fighting the possibility of her sister. Her phone records. They've contacted each other, I replied, before walking out. I didn't care so much about who Adriana had slept with while engaged to me. It was just the fucking principle of it.
Elena. It was 8 o'clock in the morning as I sat on the couch in a pink oversized Yankees t-shirt and shorts. I ate a bowl of Cap'n Crunch while the blonde newscaster filled me in on current events. I watched the news every morning and night. There wasn't much in the world that was reported on that I didn't know about. From the Korean child labor crisis to the botchy Botox injections being given in L.A. When a familiar face appeared on the screen, my pulse stilled. And when the words Oscar Perez, followed by found shot execution style in front of his apartment, passed the reporter's ruby red lips, I choked on my cereal. Not 10 seconds had gone by before, son of a bitch! Came from my papa's office. My eyes widened. As I was sinking into the couch with the relief of Oscar's death, the noise of Nicolas entering the foyer with my brother filtered into the room. They were talking about Adriana's phone records. My heart dropped. If the report showed all of my sister's messages, it would take little effort to find Ryan. Tony and Nicolas had found something in common now? Disgust twisted in my stomach. They headed past the living room doors to my papa's office while I watched the news, narrow-eyed and simmering. Papa's anger drifted down the hall like fog, and I wondered if I was going to hear gunshots. But another 5 minutes passed before his shout filled my ears. Elena! My office, now! I hesitated, but then got to my feet and padded barefoot toward his office. Dread sank into my skin with each step. I knocked on the doorframe before entering the room. Papa was behind his desk. Tony sat in the chair across from him, and Nico leaned against the wall near the window. I stood in the middle of the office, my fingers playing with the hem of my shirt. The sun warmed my clammy skin.
"Congratulations," Papa bit out, his eyes a dark storm.
I swallowed, having never seen my father so angry.
"You're getting married."
A cold sensation crawled down my throat and filled my lungs. Slowly, I glanced at Nicolas to see he watched me with indifference. Keeping his gaze, I let out a shaky breath and asked, "To who?" But I already knew. I hadn't imagined this outcome, and I wasn't sure why.
"To Nico."
My heart beat so fast, I fought not to choke on it. Silence filled the room. Deep and loathing from my papa, thoughtful from my brother, and apathetic from my no longer future brother-in-law, but fiancé. The silence I felt was instinctive, like how prey quiets to avoid capture. A survival instinct kicked in, and I shook my head. "No," I whispered. A spark flickered through Nico's eyes. My papa shuffled some papers on his desk.
"It is done, Elena."
That must be the contract in his hand. Nicolas could sign for me, and it was done? Of course, this was how it always worked. But something tasted bitter about Nico doing it. This news was like a slap to the face. How could I process him going from being my sister's fiancé to mine in less than 5 minutes? It wasn't only that. I had never wanted a husband like him. He was everything my body thought it needed, and everything my brain knew it didn't. I would lose myself in Nicolas Russo, and wouldn't know how to come up for air. My heart would fall for him, and he would crush it beneath his feet. I could live a loveless life. I couldn't survive a broken one. I gave my head another shake. "Papa,
enough, Elena. It is done.
Now go pack a bag.
You're staying with him until the wedding."
My eyes widened. "What?" I breathed. He directed a sarcastic gaze at me.
"It's not like you're a virgin, Elena."
"Papa,"
Tony snapped. His words pierced my chest. I knew he was pissed and was directing it at me, but it hurt all the same. "How could you allow this? Do you think that because my reputation is already stained, you can just rip it to shreds?"
"You can blame your poor reputation on yourself and your fiancé. After this issue with your sister and your past, I agreed to his terms."
What he meant was that Nicolas didn't trust me not to fool around with other men behind his back before the wedding. Papa apparently didn't have much say on the matter, considering the contract was broken on his end. I didn't know what to say, but I wasn't ready to accept this.
"I don't know how to cook," I blurted,
before looking at Nicolas, who still leaned against the wall, his hands in his pockets.
"I have one," was all he said in a deep, thoughtful voice.
I had a feeling he didn't entirely want this marriage either. So why had he agreed to it? I like to shop. I spend way too much money. It was true, but I also donated to the local shelters just so I wouldn't feel so bad about my spendthrift ways. So I guess that meant I spent even more.
"I have it."
Was he only going to speak to me in 3 words now that he owned me?
"Enough, Elena,"
Papa cut in.
"Go."
A frustrated sound traveled up my throat, but I kept it locked in. "I don't want this," I told my papa, my voice quiet. I avoided Nicolas's gaze, though it burned my cheek like a rash.
"It is done,"
Papa copied my tone, but his words were final. So I left his office, headed to my room, and while packing a bag, I contemplated how I could ever survive Nicolas Russo. Chapter 27. Lust will be the death of us. Unknown. Elena. There was nothing but silence. In fact, the quiet seemed to eat at me the entire drive. And the worst thing about it was his car smelled so damn good. The events of today hit me like whiplash. leaving a numbness behind that only his masculine scent seemed to penetrate. Instead of the prickling feeling of panic, his close proximity and the idea of his hands on me were driving me insane. It was as though my body focused on the primal aspect I'd been craving so I wouldn't be traumatized by the event. A protective mechanism. I was equating marrying Nicholas to severe trauma. Truly, it didn't seem far apart. There was a difference between lusting after a man and wanting him to be the father of your children. The idea pulled me in two resilient directions, thrill and terror. The feelings were so tenacious, I remained only numb, leaving room for one thing. Warmth hummed between my legs, my skin a nesting ground for electricity and ice. My mama had watched me walk out the door with Nico carrying my bag, her eyes wide as if I were being sent to the slaughterhouse. Even my sister had rushed down the stairs, mouthing, "I'm sorry," before the door shut behind me. Papa never came out of his office, and Tony and my cousins only watched Nico like he was stealing something. I wanted to stay detached from this man, as indifferent as I possibly could. But as the city passed before my eyes in a blur of concrete and bright sun, and we grew closer to his place, impassive was not a word I would even recognize. When we pulled up to the familiar red brick house, my throat grew tight. Why not the penthouse? Expecting something more lavish. My eyes narrowed. What? No, I just expected the penthouse. That's what you chose for Adriana. It's not what I chose for you. I tensed. He wasn't letting me forget he owned me now, and it cut through the numb haze that caged me. I didn't know what to feel, nervous, terrified, determined to keep some autonomy, or aroused by the possibility of his hands on me. It became a mixture of all four, dancing along my skin as I got out of the car. Nico grabbed my bag from the back seat, and I followed him into the house. It was larger than it looked from the outside. The back door entered into the kitchen, with steel appliances, gray granite countertops, and low lighting. An office sat to the right of me, the cherry desk visible through the cracked door. Except for that and a small bathroom and a laundry room to my left, the space was an open floor plan, with a staircase running upstairs. You could watch the flat-screen TV while standing at the island. It was simple. Masculine and comfortable. I swallowed when he shut the back door with an unmistakable click. I was still in shock about this turn of events and didn't know how to process it completely or at all. I was going through the motions while my thoughts lagged behind. He dropped my bag into an armchair and then his keys on the kitchen counter. This place might look the epitome of comfortable, but I had no idea how I would ever feel that way in his space. I stood planted next to the door while he poured himself a drink from the minibar near the front windows. A strong feeling consumed me that if I moved, something would attack me, maybe him. The curtains were closed, and only small shards of light got through, leaving the room dimly lit. It was 9 o'clock in the morning, and he was drinking whiskey. I prayed he wasn't an alcoholic. He might have stopped my uncle from hitting me last night, but knowing a few alcoholics, especially on my mama's side, nothing about them was predictable. He wore all black, and the way he looked at me from across the room made me fully aware of his reputation. He was the most dangerous man in the city. And soon, I would have to call him husband.